أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه: يا أبت إني رأيت 11 كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. قال: يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا، إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. Inshallah, today we're starting from ayah number 4 of Surah Yusuf. And we had started the first 3 ayat of the surah and explained a little bit about the revelation of the surah and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described this surah as Ahsanul Qasas, or the best of the stories. So from today's lesson, this ayah number 4, is where the actual story starts, where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes to his father and tells him that he has seen a dream. And what is the dream? He says that he sees the moon, the sun, and 11 stars, all of them prostrating to him. So this is what the first ayah says. First the translation, and then inshallah we'll go into the explanation of it. إِذْ قَالَ Yusuf, and remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when Yusuf alayhi salam said to his father, Ya Abati, O my beloved father. The word Abati, it is a way to address your father. You can say Ya Abi, Ya Abata, Ya Abat. So there are various ways in Arabic that you can say my father, and Ya Abati is one of the ways that you can say it, and it indicates, O my beloved father, a sign of respect. He says, O my beloved father, Inni ra'aytu 11 kawkaba. Indeed, I saw 11 stars, wa-shamsa, and the sun, wal-qamara, and the full moon. Ra'aytuhum li-sajidin. I saw them prostrating to me. So, the word ra'aytu has been mentioned twice here. So, first he says, Inni ra'aytu 11 kawkaba, وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon. And then again, Yusuf alayhi salam mentions the word رَأَيْتُهُمْ. I saw them prostrating to me. So the scholars say that the reason for repeating رَأَيْتُ, I saw, is to stress the point that he is not making this up. It is something that he actually saw, and the vividness of the dream indicated that he felt that he actually saw what he was seeing in real life. The other thing that is mentioned here by the scholars is that the sun, the moon, the stars, these things are known in Arabic as غَيْرْ ذِي عَقِلْ, غَيْرْ ذِي الْعَقْلِ. That means that they do not have their own sense, meaning they are regarded as senseless objects like any other object. Table, chair, house, etc. Those things that do not have any type of intelligence, they are known as غَيْرِ ذِي الْعَقْلِ. And the ruling in Arabic for them is that when you bring the plural of these objects, you use feminine terminology. You use singular feminine terminology. So the real wording should have been رَأَيْتُهَا لِي سَاجِدًا. رَأَيْتُهَا لِي سَاجِدَةً. I saw them prostrating to me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used wording here that indicates that those objects that Yusuf alayhi salam is referring to, they actually had a sense. When they were doing what they were doing, when they were prostrating, they had a sense. So the scholars say the reason behind this is that when Yusuf alayhi salam is seeing these objects in the dream and they are prostrating to Yusuf alayhi salam, they are not doing this prostration as mere objects. Rather, they are fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from that perspective they have a sense, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the terminology of sense, things which have sense, for those stars and the sun and the moon as if they have sense. And this is another thing that we should keep in mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everything in the world, it actually makes the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There's everything in the world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, it makes the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. But we human beings cannot understand their tasbih, their glorification. Except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for certain humans to develop certain powers, only then that is possible. Otherwise, normal human beings cannot do so. And that's why Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given the ability to understand the language of animals, the language of the ant is specifically mentioned in Surah An-Naml, and also the language of the birds is specifically mentioned also in Surah An-Naml, that he could understand the language of these creatures. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can bestow this knowledge to certain individuals. But the point is that when these objects or these things, animals, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we usually deem to have no sense, when they are in the doing the action of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they are doing the action of making the glorification and the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in fact doing it with full consciousness, and they are listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they are obedient. So from that perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a certain type of sense. So that's why the word ra'aytuhum li sajideen has been used, terminology that is used for things that usually have a sense. The fact is, Yusuf alayhi salam, he is coming to his father. There's a hadith that is mentioned about this beautiful family tree of Yusuf alayhi salam, that who they were. It's mentioned, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, Su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Ayyun nasi akram. The Prophet was asked, which of the people are most gracious? Meaning, they have the highest honor, they are the most honorable. He said, Akramuhum indallahi atfahum. So from a general human perspective, the people that have the most respect, the most dignity in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that have the most taqwa. So this is what how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam responded, that the most noble amongst you is the one that has the most taqwa. They said, Laysa an hadha nas'aluk. We're not asking you about this, O Prophet of Allah. So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَأَكْرَمُ النَّاسِ يُوسُفُ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ خَلِيلِ اللَّهِ. Then the most gracious and the most noble is Yusuf alayhi salam, who was the son of the Prophet of Allah, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam, who was the son of the Prophet of Allah, which was Ishaq alayhi salam, who was the son of Khalilullah, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam. Four generations of prophets, subhanAllah. Four generations continuously of prophets. So if you can imagine the honor that Yusuf alayhi salam has been bestowed with, that he's the fourth in the line of prophets, and his great-great-grandfather is who? None other than Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Abul Anbiya, the father of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So from that perspective, obviously, Yusuf alayhi salam, he is the most noble of humans. So the Sahaba, they went on to say that we're not asking you about that. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam understood that they were asking about their own people. فَعَنْ مَعَادٍ الْعَرَبِ تَسْأَلُونِي. Are you asking me about the tribes of the Arabs? So they said, قَالُوا نَعَمْ. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَخِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقُوهُ. That the best of the people in Islam are the ones that were the best in Jahiliyyah once they understand. So this is against a general rule that we have, that people that become Muslim, they came with certain habits, certain traits, certain things that they used to implement in their lives and they used to practice in their lives. that were part of their culture or part of the religion that they were practicing, and there is nothing wrong with that as long as it's there is no shirk or anything like that being committed. So Islam is recognizing those qualities that those people had even prior to becoming Muslim. And sometimes those same qualities actually lead a person to Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ said the best of the people in Islam were the best in Jahiliyyah once they understand. Once they understand meaning, they understand the concept of Tawheed, they understand the concept of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they understand that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the last Prophet, then obviously those same attributes, those same habits, they bring them over to Islam and they benefit Islam, they benefit the Ummah, and obviously they benefit themselves. The other thing that we should understand here is that the dreams of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, رُؤْيَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَحْيٌ, that the dreams of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are a form of wahi. So what was the description, what was Yusuf alayhi salam seeing in this dream? He was seeing 11 stars, the sun and the moon. And the tafsir of that was, ultimately we find at the end of the surah, that 11 of his brothers and the sun and the moon, meaning his parents, they all prostrate to him at the end of the surah. So the question is, that why can a human prostrate in front of another human being? Isn't that a form of shirk? So the answer to that is that before this ummah, before the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people used to make sajda to other people, and that was permissible, and that was known as a sajda of takreem, sajda of respect, not a sajda of ibadah. But because this ummah, it has closed all doors of shirk, anything that could be comparable to shirk or could be understood as shirk, could be understood as polytheism, the doors of that has been closed for this ummah, and we are not allowed to do anything that could lead us down that path. So this ummah, our ummah, has been forbidden from doing that type of thing. But prior to our ummah, people used to make sajda to each other as a sign of respect, as a sign of honor, and it was perfectly permissible for them to do that. The next ayah, Yaqub alayhi salam said to Yusuf, Ya bunay, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. O my beloved son, do not tell this dream to your brothers. So Yaqub alayhi salam, being a prophet, he understood exactly what this dream meant. And obviously, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, even though they may not have been prophets, but they are the sons of prophets, and it's quite possible that they also can understand what this dream means. So Yaqub alayhi salam said to Yusuf, do not tell your brothers this dream. Because he already knew that there was some kind of sibling rivalry between the brothers. They were jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam, and therefore there was a possibility that they could have harmed him and done him wrong because of this dream that Yusuf alayhi salam had seen. So he said, do not tell anybody this dream, especially your brothers, do not tell them this dream. And I'm going to talk about hadith which talk about how we should regard dreams. I'll talk about that in a minute. But the question is that Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, were they that mean? Were they that bad that, you know, that they have been kind of regarded as the evil brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam? So the Mufassirin say that they were not bad in the sense that they wanted to actually harm Yusuf alayhi salam or do him a great deal of harm. Why? Because the discussions that will be mentioned next week, they started off with the mention of killing. Okay? And then they said, okay, we won't kill him. Let's just put him in the middle of the desert. Okay? And then it went from putting him in the middle of the desert, which was also a sure form of destruction, to putting him in a well from which he could be ultimately rescued because tribes are passing by and they would be going to this well to get water out for their animals and for themselves. So, for sure somebody is going to pick him up and take him away. So the discussion went from one extreme to at least, okay, put him in a well where he can be saved and he can be taken up. So from this, we can understand that they were not really bad nation in a way that they wanted to actually kill Yusuf al-Islam or destroy him in any way, shape or form, because they came to that conclusion that they're not going to kill him. They're going to leave him in such a situation where he can be ultimately rescued. And this is actually a sign that they were obviously the sons of prophets, and the fact that they had this thought was because their nature inside them was not the nature of evil people. They had in them this good-natured quality that they didn't really want to kill him. So, what about sibling rivalry? We understand from this that is something that is very natural among siblings, brothers, sisters, especially the older kids. When a new addition comes to the family, a new baby, the elders become jealous. Or if the father is giving priority to one over the other, then the others become jealous. So this is something that is completely natural, and this happens. But as parents, we need to try to make sure that we don't allow that to happen. We should not show impartiality between our children. There's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ, he was approached by a sahabi who said, "Ya Rasulullah, I gave one of my sons a gift, and I would like you to make a dua of barakah for the fact that I've given him this gift." The Prophet ﷺ asked a very simple question. He said, "Did you give any of your other sons the same gift?" He said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't." So then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Then why are you making me a witness to dhulm, oppression?" So this shows that when you are giving favor, displaying favoritism to one sister or one brother over the others, then this is a form of dhulm against the others. Okay, so favoritism, we have to, obviously there's always an inclination towards loving the youngest one of the family because it's a new addition, the baby of the family, but it should be done in such a discreet way that the others don't feel that they are being rejected or being ignored. This is a very important principle that we need to keep in mind. Going back to the issue of the dreams, there are three types of dreams that humans have. And many people email me and ask me questions about dreams. I'm not an expert on dreams, but this is something that people have, dreams that they see. There are three types of dreams that humans have. One type is something that is from his own psychology. Okay, a person is worried about his job being laid off. So he's thinking about that all the time. So at night, he's going to have a dream about it. Okay? But his boss is telling him, you know, pack up your things and leave. And he wakes up thinking, oh, it's just a dream. It was a nightmare. So this is a person's psychology, his mind that is playing tricks on him and is making him have these dreams at night. The second type of dream is from the shaitan. Okay? So this would be scary dreams, dreams of snakes and dogs and so on, monsters, things that a person is scared of. A person will get that type of dream, and these types of dreams are from the shaitan. Or erotic dreams, where a person is engaging in illicit things in his dream, something that is he is not held accountable for because he's sleeping, but illicit dreams, illicit relationship that a person has in his dream, that is also from the shaitan. And the third type of dream is a dream from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where it's a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, you have a 1 in 3 chance of the dream having any meaning at all. But a lot of people, they take this issue of dreams so seriously, they think that, you know, anytime I have a dream, it has to have some kind of message behind it. And that's not necessarily the case all the time. Sometimes it will have a message, sometimes it will not be a message. So a person needs to filter out what the dream is, whether it's from his psychology, whether from the shaitan, or it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he forbade people from telling people about dreams, especially when those dreams are those dreams are bad dreams or scary dreams. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Idha رأى أحدكم ما يحب فليحدث به. When a person sees something that he likes in his dream, then he can tell people about it. وإذا رأى ما يكره فليتحول إلى جنبه الآخر. But when he sees something that he dislikes, then he should turn his back. Basically what it means is that when he's sleeping to the right, he saw the dream, just go face the other direction, and he should وَلْيَدْفُلْ عَنْ يَسَارِهِ ثَلَاثًا. He should face the left direction of the bed and make a spitting action like this. And say, أَعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلْيَدْفُلْ عَنْ يَسَارِهِ ثَلَاثًا وَلْيَسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّهَا. And he should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from the evil of that dream. أَعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أو مِنْ شَرِّ هذه الرؤيا أو المنام. ولا يحدث به أحدا فإنها لن تضره. And he should not tell anybody about it, and inshallah this will not harm him. Okay. And the other thing, in another hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, الرؤيا على رحل طائر على رجل طائر ما لم تعبر فإذا عبرت وقعت. The dream, it's like a bird that floats on top of a person, and as long as those dreams are not interpreted by anybody, they cannot harm a person. But once they're interpreted, then they could become true. So when you tell a person a dream and that person interprets it, then that, according to that interpretation, it could become true. This is according to this hadith. And there's another thing that we should keep in mind, that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to tell people to hide the blessings from people until they had occurred. And this is because people tend to become jealous of a person who is being blessed with things. He said, استعينوا على قضاء الحوائج بكتمانها. Seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fulfilling your needs by hiding them. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٌ. Because every person who's blessed with any blessing, he is mahsood, meaning people are jealous of him. So to avoid that jealousy, to avoid ayn, a person should try as much as possible, especially if the people around him don't have the same blessing, don't have the same thing that he is blessed with, and maybe can never afford to get that thing, a person should try to hide it and not become the victim of hasad, the victim of jealousy, by doing that. Okay, but then somebody might question, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Duha, then you should proclaim the ni'mah of your Lord. So sometimes a person, this is basically the two extremes. One extreme is that you are blessed with blessings and you just make an open show of everything that you have. That's one thing. And the second thing is, or a different type of attitude is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with money, then wear nice clothes, wear nice shoes, and be presentable in society. Do not dress in a way that is not befitting of the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. This is what وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ means. That the blessing that Allah has given you, proclaim it by benefiting from it in this world. And again, not to the extreme that instead of wearing a thobe or a pair of clothes that you could get for $100, you go out and spend $600 on a sweater or $1,000 on a sweater. This is the other extreme. And this is not, this would be regarded as israf, extravagance. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ تَبْذِيرِ. Which is another word for extravagance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people that make tabdhir are the brothers of shaitan. So the thing is that tahdith bin ni'mah, which means to proclaim one's blessings, it's good, but at the same time, not to the extreme that you're just showing off every single thing that like people tend to do nowadays on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat, everything. You get a new piece of jewelry, a new handbag, new pair of clothes, new car, everything is out there on social media. So again, this is not appropriate, but what tahdith ibn ni'mah means is that use the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you've been blessed with, and don't try to kind of act poor when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you blessings that you could use. Finishing off the ayah, inshallah. Yaqub alayhi salam said to Yusuf alayhi salam, do not tell your brothers about this dream. فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. Otherwise, they're going to make a plot for you. Okay, so the wording here is very unique. In Arabic, it's supposed to be فَيَكِيدُوكَ كَيْدًا. فَيَكِيدُوكَ كَيْدًا. That they're going to make a plot against you. But this lam here, it means, lam generally, it indicates benefits, manfa'a. So the real meaning of fayakidu laka kaida means that they're going to make a plot that is going to ultimately benefit you. Okay, so this is the meaning, a very special meaning that you can derive from the wording that has been mentioned here. Fayakidu laka kaida instead of fayakiduka kaida. Okay, so it will ultimately benefit you, and then we find at the end of the surah what happens is Yusuf alayhi salam gets this position in society, becomes royalty, and so on. So ultimately, that planning and plotting against him worked out for his benefit. And then right at the end, Yaqub alayhi salam says, "Inna shaytana lil insani adu mubin." Indeed, the shaytan for the human being is an open enemy. Open enemy, the shaytan is an open enemy for the human being. So, the shaitan obviously pushes people to argue, pushes people to fight, pushes people to become jealous. And this is what, I'll just finish off with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describes how the shaitan, he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was condemned to destruction and being rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I'm going to come from in front of them and from behind them and from their right and from their left, all directions except top and bottom. Okay, so why did the shaitan not mention these two directions? The scholars say that when a person is engaged in worship to the one that is above, then the shaitan cannot approach that slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he's engaged in humbleness and thinking about what's going to happen below, meaning in the grave, then the shaitan cannot, hurt or make the human being slip up. So this is again something that we should keep in mind. The shaitan is there. The shaitan will try his best to do what he wants to do in making a slip up. But he has very limited power. He will put wasawis in our hearts. He will put thoughts into our hearts. But he will not twist our arm and make us do things. It is us ultimately that listen to the shaitan and do what he wants us to do. The wasawis that he puts in our hearts, the whisperings that he puts into our hearts, is something that we do. So we'll be held accountable for that on the Day of Judgment. And this is what the shaitan says. Many places in the Quran, he will, on the Day of Judgment, he will throw up his hands and say, I didn't do anything to you. I didn't have any control over you. You listened to me. دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I called you and you responded. That's all I did. I called you. So we need to make sure that we control ourselves. We do not fall prey to the shaitan who is putting these wasawis in our hearts at all times. And with that, inshallah, when we do that, we will be protected, and in the hereafter, we will not become the victim of the shaitan's tricks. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.